and we will continue with our message. Today we're starting a new message series. This is Who We Are. We're talking about what makes us us, and we'll talk about why. So today, why is this important? Let's start thinking today by thinking about a piece of American history that many of us are familiar with. If you grew up going to school in America, then I know you are familiar with this. It's the story of Lewis and Clark and their expedition to explore the American West. You've heard of this, right? I mean, raise your hand if you have. Okay. In 1803, the American president, Thomas Jefferson, bought the Louisiana Purchase from France. It was 530 million acres of land, a chunk of land that stretched from the Mississippi River almost to the Rocky Mountains and from Texas in the south all the way up into Canada in the north. And after purchasing this huge territory, Thomas Jefferson sent Lewis and Clark to explore it. And here's the thing about Lewis and Clark, and in fact, this is the thing about all of the great explorers that we remember from history. The thing that every explorer has in common is that they travel in places where there's no maps to guide them, right? I mean, they wouldn't be explorers if there was already a map of where they're going. And so explorers do things that people have never done before. Explorers go places that people have never gone before. And this is why they stand out, right? Explorers, they go into uncharted territory, and then they come back to tell the rest of us what it's like. The thing about exploring is that it changes you. It really does. Because when you're traveling uncharted territory, you have no maps to guide you. You have no real ideas of what's out there. It's just totally unknown. What challenges might be there? What opportunities might await you? Or even what dangers are there in the unknown you don't know? You're exploring. And so a good explorer, and we can say those explorers who've made it into the history books, right? They're the good ones. The bad ones didn't come back, I guess. The good explorer is not just willing to change, but a good explorer is constantly seeking to adapt herself to the new environments that she finds herself in. Just like Lewis and Clark, their journey of exploration required them to adapt in major ways and actually many times. Their mission did not go as planned. I don't know if you knew this, but their mission did not go as planned. Their mission was originally to find a river path that would take them from the city of St. Louis, Missouri, all the way to the Pacific Ocean. That was the goal, and Thomas Jefferson wanted that because if they could find a river route all the way to the Pacific, that could be a major thing for the nation as far as commerce and trade goes. And so they set off from St. Louis in boats that they thought would take them all the way there, up the Missouri River. And they thought when they got to the end of the Missouri River, or we can say the beginning of the Missouri River, actually, the headwaters, they thought they would be able to pick up their boats, travel a short distance to another river, the Columbia River, and then get in that river and then take a nice kind of leisurely cruise all the way downstream to the Pacific Ocean on the other side. That's what they thought their trip was going to be like. They thought their journey would take about a year to get all the way to the Pacific Ocean and back. But if you know the story, you know that's not how the expedition went. It took them 3 years, and it went nothing like they had hoped. Because what happened was that Lewis and Clark, the first part of the mission went well. They got on their boats, they headed upriver, they got to the source of the Missouri River, and you know what they found was not another river waiting to take them the other direction, or to, I guess, flowing the other direction to take them all the way down to the Pacific Ocean. What they found was the Rocky Mountain Range in front of them, in between them and their goal. And they realized this was not going to be as easy as they thought. And they knew they would need to change in order to meet this new challenge. So they left the boats behind. They found some horses. They traded for horses. They traveled in uncharted territory, and that forced them to change. And so these horses then took them over the mountains, through the mountain pass. They made it to the other side of the Rockies, where they let go of the horses once again. They built new boats. They found a river. They traveled to the Pacific. There at the Pacific, they became builders. They built a fort and stayed near the Pacific for the winter. They sheltered there. And then finally, when spring came again, they started their journey back. They took boats back up the rivers. They traded for horses. They crossed the mountains. They built boats again. And then they went back to St. Louis. 3 years later, they had changed and adapted time and again. And they not only returned from their expedition, they were hailed as heroes because they had succeeded beyond anyone's expectations. They had created maps that revealed parts of the landscape nobody in America ever knew about before. They even brought back live animals from the plains of the Midwest. They recorded plants and animals that the European settlers, the American country, they didn't know were there. Brand new stuff. And their expedition transformed America's understanding of the continent that we're on today. They were explorers. Well, I can say, too, that people like Lewis and Clark, they aren't the only ones exploring in uncharted territory today. In fact, today we're explorers too. We are navigating, we're traveling through uncharted territory. We're navigating changes that we've never experienced before. Today we can look at changes in our society and world. We can look at changing people inside the church and out. And we can recognize for us as the church in America today, there's no maps to guide us where we're going. We're going places that nobody has ever gone before. So a big question, how do we be the faithful people of God in America when American society today no longer embraces Christian teachings and no longer really respects the institutional church? This is new for us in America. This is uncharted territory. Or for us as Southwest Lutheran Church, last week we installed Somo as a vicar, student pastor. How do we become a Lutheran multi-ethnic church that embraces both immigrants and native-born Americans, that's led by both Anglos and Burmese people? This is uncharted territory. No one's done that before. So there's no map. There's no game plan. We'll have questions arise on this journey. We'll see those Rocky Mountains. And you know what we'll have to do is we'll just have to come up with answers because no one's been here yet to tell us what the right answer is or if there's a right answer. And as we explore, change will be required. And that shouldn't scare us because we know we're following our Lord. We're following our Lord where his Spirit leads us. And so we don't have to worry about this, but it's a big journey that we're on. And so this is why we're talking about who we are. Because when we try to look into the future and we know that change is coming, we don't even know what that will be, but we know that change is coming, and in fact, change is always coming. We know that there's some things that shouldn't change too. When we're in uncharted territory, this is actually the most important thing for us to know is who we are. What is our identity? What are the parts of us that shouldn't change? And that actually frees us to know what can change, what can be different. And so we know that we're Christians. We follow Jesus as Lord. We seek to obey all that he has commanded us. We live by faith in the Son of God. These are things that shouldn't change because these are who we are. And as Lutherans too, you know, we take our history, our theology seriously. We know that Scripture alone tells us what God has to say to his people and to the world. We know that we live by faith alone, we're saved by grace alone, through faith in the Son of God. These things shouldn't change either. And so today, for the next few weeks, we're talking about who we are, because we are explorers in uncharted territory, and we will change as our world, as our environment changes, as the city of Fort Wayne changes even. But we never want to change our identity as Christians, as Lutherans, because that's who we are. And our scripture reading helps us to see why this is so important, why the stakes are so high. We read from Paul's letter to the Galatians today, and here Paul is actually describing an argument that he had with the apostle Peter. And here Paul calls Peter by his name Cephas. Peter was called both. And so here's what happened. Paul says, "When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group." Paul is talking about a controversy that arose in the early Christian church. The early Christian church began as a movement of Jews who recognized Jesus as their Savior. They became believers in Jesus Christ. And they were very Jewish at the beginning. It was a major change for those early Jewish Christians to begin sharing their faith with non-Jews, with Gentiles. Because Jews in that day, they didn't eat with Gentiles. They didn't spend time with Gentiles. They wouldn't go in Gentile homes. So this was a big change for the church to have these two cultures coming together. And so some of the early Christians, they embraced Gentiles as they were. And they were pretty much cool with that. That's how Peter was before these men came. Other early Christians, and here Paul calls them the circumcision group. They're the men who came from James, the ones Paul talks about. Other early Christians saw it differently. And other early Christians, they believed that these Gentiles, these non-Jews, they basically had to become Jewish before they could become Christian. And so for these other early Christians, they thought, you know, those Gentile men, they would have to be circumcised. Gentile believers would have to follow Jewish dietary laws and cleanliness laws and things like that, even more. And so Peter, as I mentioned, Cephas, he was in the first group. Peter embraced the Gentiles as they were. Peter lived with the Gentiles. Peter ate with the Gentiles. In fact, there's a story of Peter and the centurion Cornelius, and that's kind of like when the light bulb went on for Peter and the early church that, yes, Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit too. Christ has come to them. And so Peter was with them. Peter knew he was free in Christ, and he knew that Jesus had saved these Gentile believers too. And then Peter acted like it until, we read, until some men came from Jerusalem. And at that point, Peter began to draw back from the Gentile believers. Peter went back to acting like the rest of the Jews. He separated himself from the Gentiles. And really what's happening here is Peter is changing, right? He's responding to his environment, but he's changing without asking why. He's changing without a clear idea of what's at the core, what makes him who he is. He's just reacting to the presence of these men. And in fact, Peter's giving up the core, because by acting in this way, Peter is giving up his identity and his freedom in Christ. He's going back to the life he had before he knew Jesus. And this is what Paul says to Peter. Paul says, hey, Peter, you're changing things that shouldn't be changed here. This is what Paul says. He says, when I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? So this is one change poorly thought out, and Peter's life is denying the truth of the gospel. So it's important to know who we are in Christ. It's important not to change the things that shouldn't change. And so today, as we're asking who we are as Christians and as Lutherans, today we're remembering the most important thing. We're focusing on the most important thing for us, and that is that Jesus is at the center of all we are and all we do. Jesus, his death on the cross and his resurrection for you and for me. Jesus is at the center of all we are. In Jesus, we have forgiveness of sins. In Jesus, we are welcomed into God's family. In Jesus, we are given freedom from Satan and sin. Today, this is who we are. Jesus is at the center. And that's what Paul says to Peter. He says this, we who were Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Paul says that we keep Jesus at the center, because when Jesus is not at the center of our faith, well, what comes in to take his place? Well, works of the law, he says. Our own works, our own efforts to be righteous before God, which can never work because we continue to sin. Or he says our own efforts to fit in, our own decisions about who is worthy and who is welcome, as Peter and this circumcision party is doing here, saying you're not welcome here unless you follow our rules, unless you fit in with us. These things come to take the space if Jesus is not at the center. That's exactly what Peter had been doing. So Paul is really, he's just telling Peter now, Peter, you need to live your life. Live your life as if your whole life is about forgiveness in Jesus Christ, acceptance in Jesus Christ, inclusion in Jesus Christ, because, well, that's really what Peter's whole life was about. It's just that Peter wasn't living that way, not for a time, not when he made this change without thinking about it. And so for us too, our whole lives need to have Jesus at the center, because that's who we are. And for the next few weeks, that's what we'll see as we talk about who we are. We'll see how Jesus is at the center of what we do at church, how Jesus is at the center of the way we worship, the way we receive things like the Lord's Supper, the way we baptize people. We'll see that Jesus is at the center of the way we talk about Scripture, when we talk about law and gospel and hearing God's word of challenge and also God's word of grace. We'll see how Jesus is at the center of our efforts to share the good news, to share the gospel with others. We'll see even how Jesus is at the center of our tradition, of this long line of Lutheran thinkers and theology that's come before us, how they kept Jesus at the center, and so we take him seriously. This is what we're talking about as we talk about who we are. We'll see that Jesus is at the center of our lives at church and home and work. We'll see Jesus at the center. And so today, I don't have anything to give to you to say, hey, go home and do this week. But I will invite you to come back next week. come back for the next 4 weeks. Join us as we talk about who we are. Because what we're doing is we're putting together this firm core, this foundation of what makes us, us, as Christians and as Lutherans. Because when we know who we are, well, then we can go together into the unknown, into uncharted territory. We can go together into the future. We can change and adapt as it's needed to meet the needs of our congregation and our community. And we can do this without changing who we are, without changing what's really important. Because what's truly important is Christ. And this is what Paul says. This is how we'll end. We are in Christ and Christ is in us. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is who we are. Amen. Let's stand. We'll continue now by saying what we believe, who we are, right, in the words of the Apostles' Creed. You'll see the words on the screen, and we can confess this together, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and take a seat. We'll continue now in our time of worship with our offering. Let me say real quick, we have these yellow cards right here. Please fill this out. Let us know you're here because that helps us to take care of those people whom God has entrusted to us. If you're a guest or a visitor with us here today, we won't come knocking on your door, but we'd love to send you a postcard to say thanks for joining us.